Yes. Oh, yeah. So we will start the session once again, reciting a few charistic mantra. And, they initially use the sound of the mantra once again to bring back our minds to right here and now. And also, gradually to cultivate a strong sense of compassion. Compassion start upon oneself, then slowly pass down through the people who are sitting next to you, then slowly expand to towards the outside and your loved one, your friends, your colleagues, and then slowly to extend to the community and a wider community. So we'll start this evening gathering first saying a few charistic mantra.
Ne be.
So I thought it is good to have this kind of round facing each other and having some form of sharing our experiences during this retreat, and also in the wider, many of you I know have been in teachings of the Buddha in general, and particularly in Tibetan Buddhism, and some of you been in Tsongkhapa's tradition quite some time, and have a great, put a lot of effort, and have, I'm sure, the great experiences. And some of you might be relatively new in coming into teachings of the Buddha, and some of you, have not decided to take the teachings of the Buddha as your spiritual path, maybe just here to simply to ground, the sense of stability, clarity, calmness, just simply to build that kind of. But we are here started last Friday evening, and now today is the Wednesday. Not that long, but long and short is comparative, isn't it? So, the good time that we spend together. And although we have tomorrow a few sessions together, but tomorrow morning when we wake up, I'm sure our mind is already back either to day after tomorrow, what kind of I'm going to do, and so on and so forth. Our mind is already out of the retreat moods. And I thought this evening is best time to share. Still, we are going to sleep in a bunk bed and so forth. So it is good to share some of our, general experiences in teachings of the Buddha, and particularly during this retreat. And within that, at this time, although originally we started, some of you were here with us, 2 years ago, I planned this, leading this, this retreat in this particular topic, in this particular way. I planned 3 years ago with the discussion with the other teachers in India, some of my teachers, and also some of my, you know, the long-term friends, and being in the West, you know, a very long time, and have a great knowledge in the West, and also have a great knowledge in Dharma. So I had some discussions some time ago when the mindfulness meditation, you know, about 6-7 years ago, when the mindfulness meditation becoming very popular, and also people feel very very useful and very beneficial. And along that, some other traditions, you know, the leading, not necessarily as a mindfulness meditation, but leading more meditation style of explaining the nature of the mind, bringing some, you know, the, as I mentioned the other day, some of the highest yoga in the Gelugs, you know, the terminology, and that kind of technique, and bringing into more, you know, people to have an easy access to some of those techniques. And so I had some, you know, the discussions some years ago, maybe 7-8 years ago, a few, some of my friends who are in the West saying I should, you know, do some sort of form, because they know my the foundation Buddhist thought, which they say is very useful, helpful, and many people have benefited in the West, and they're saying it will be good to have a, you know, a sort of, you know, the structured, which is between the, you know, the people don't need to take the highest yoga initiation, or but they also, you know, they have some kind of practice. So I was encouraged by, you know, those people, and I myself wasn't that very clear, you know, because how can I do that? Although I myself received, you know, the teachings, you know, in the Gelug tradition, in Tsongkhapa's tradition, you know, the Mahamudra teaching from several times from great teachers like His Holiness, two tutors I received from both, and I received from His Holiness twice, and I myself did a not very long retreat, several short retreats under the guidance of my teacher, and you know, that's only I have, you know, in terms of the, in this area of this kind of the meditation, and you know, I wasn't very sure, although I have done those things, I wasn't sure whether I'm ready to do that or qualified to do that. And I talked to some of my teachers back in India. They are not very sure how to do it, you know, how to, because some of, in the Gelug tradition, you know, the, some of those highest yoga teachings, the techniques are very, kept very much in a very, you know, saying, unless if you receive initiations, unless if you have done the retreat, unless if you have done this and that, you know, shouldn't be taught and so forth. And also one thing that kept me a little bit back was, you know, the 8-9 years ago, even longer, when Gordon was one of our SBC, I had this, you know, the plan, Jamyang, London Jamyang, you know, have a full resource, not just the material, you know, the text and all the things, but also have people among the, you know, the highest yoga tantra teachings, Guhya Samaja teachings, you know, the sort of have it, you know, the for Westerners, and particularly in the Gelug tradition, you know, Westerners want to really want to study and practice Guhya Samaja, which is the main principal deities in the Gelug tradition. I thought Jamyang should make a main sort of center. And we put lots of effort for that, you know, to bring kindly Khenso Rinpoche, Changsu Shoshi Rinpoche gave twice Guhya Samaja initiation, and it's very, very long preparation, and gave commentaries, came many times. And so then we had that time quite a good group of people, and I myself involved a lot to leading and, you know, how to do all those things. Then, of course, to go a little bit further, people has to do retreat. And Guhya Samaja retreat, you know, because there are 32 deities, minimum it will take, you know, the just counting the mantra, and in a minimum it will take 3 months. Then I thought, okay, now how it's going to work? 3 months taking from the family, from the work, is almost impossible. When I look at those people who that time very enthusiastic, very only I think one or two people may able to do that. Rest, I have no sort of confidence. So then I approached to Changzhu Chöje Rinpoche, saying, "Is it possible? Is it possible? You know, people can break that, you know, the retreat into 3 or 4 months. You know, the one this year, 1 month; next year, 1 month; next year, 1 month." And also those people who have done like the, you know, the retreat in Vajrayogini, some of the Hatha Yoga Tantra retreat have already done. And on that basis, then, you know, at the end of the first month retreat, they can do one five puja and do the five puja like that. Only that way I said, I can see they can do retreat, otherwise I can't see they can do retreat. But when I asked that, he said I will think about. He was in Jamyang and he was staying at my place. And then a few days later, he said, "I really can't make this decision by my own. I need to ask to His Holiness." So that is the, you know, the way all the my things. And then next year, when I went back to India, I went to see him. He said, he asked His Holiness, and His Holiness said, "No. If they want to do it properly." So that really pulls me back, and I can understand, I can totally understand why those great teachers are, because their main concern is, you know, something keeping the tradition intact, and so on and so forth. And, you know, so that also pulled me back a little bit, some of my friends who encouraged me to do that. So, anyway, now this is what we are doing now, so far what I've, you know, this the last 4 or 5 days we meditated, and I myself prepare, read the text, different texts. Some of the texts are not very familiar in my, you know, from my tradition, but also I read some of those texts, and some of the texts of the tradition that I follow I have read before. So what I have said here, and also I myself join with you to try to meditate, I found it's very, very useful and helpful, you know, in the sense of I can see there is something can merge, you know, the people don't need to take the Hatha Yoga initiation, but they can also use some of those techniques, you know, in here to explore these sort of things. So my experience last year, I mean, of course, the year before was purely explaining the shamatha in the sutra, and last year, this year, I found that, you know, that may able to develop a material, then slowly a course, maybe. So that's what I felt, and I'm very, very, particularly this year, very, very positive. Very, very positive and very, very encouraged. You're hardworking. You know, I can see some of you are a little bit struggling, but still stick with that. You know, stick with that. And that really encouraged me very much. And and also I myself, you know, when I did my, you know, 2 retreats with under the guidance of my teacher, the Mahamudra in the Gelug tradition, it is very much traditional, you know, the way of doing it. And here, you know, we always started with the mantra recitation. And that is, in my sort of, you know, thinking, it is equivalent of, in the Mahamudra meditation, always you always start with the, invoking the gurus and the lineage, and then very strongly, you know, for example, there's this short recitation. gyudangzin tiwa jobada, jamninje, changsim jongwada, besungju chakya chembode, chongyudu tobar jingilo. So at the end of the each verse, when you, you know, visualize the guru, lineage gurus, and then these four lines, jamninje, changsim jongwada, loving kindness, compassion, bodhicitta, be cultivated. Jamninje changsem jongwada. Lamsungju chakya chenpode. The great mahamudra, the union of, you know, the union of bliss and emptiness, be, you know, experienced within my mental continuum. Lamsungju chakya chenpode. Chongyurdo tobar chingilo. May I be, you know, quickly to experience this union of bliss and emptiness. I missed the first. Gyudangzin tiwa jobadang. Cutting the root of self-grasping from my mental continuum. Gyudangzin tiwa jobadang. So that is cutting the root of self-grasping from my continuum. Gyudangzin tiwa jobadang. Jamningje changsem jongwadang. In other, enhancing or cultivating loving kindness and bodhicitta. Jamningje changsem jongwadang. Baesungju chakya chenpode. You know, that great mahamudra, which is the union of bliss and emptiness, may I experience quickly within my mental continuum. Baesungju chakya chongyido tom. Pakyugi kudang dagilu. And may my body and you, my father, it refers to your root guru, may be merged. Pakyuji kudang dagilu. Pakyuji sungda daginga. My speech and you, my father, your speech be merged. Pakyuji todang dagi. My mind and your mind, you as my father, your mind be merged. Pachuji kuda dagin, pachuji suna dagin, pachuji tuda dagi, tuyeme chikdu rolazun, and may they never be separated. You know, there. So that kind of very sort of emotionally charged prayers are always set at the beginning of the meditation. So here we started either saying the Heart Sutra mantra or the Charesik mantra. And so that there are these sort of things. I can see, there is a possibility. So, what I want to say here is really I'm very encouraged and very pleased to see, it may work. It may work to develop some kind of course, in the future. So that is what I want to share with you. And it's really, I really enjoyed leading the mantra recitation, I really enjoyed being here. That's my sharing. Yeah. So, who would like to share? There's nothing wrong to share whatever you feel. It's really, the evening is very open. Yeah. Yeah, here.
Krishna, I might have a question, perhaps on behalf of everybody here, mm-hmm. many people here. Would it be possible to plan for you to lead a longer retreat for us in the future?
Mm. Longer retreat. Do you mean a 3-year retreat?
3 months. 1 month. 2 months.
Yes, I think now the, as you can see, the next year I'm going to be 60. So, as I said several times in here, midlife crisis and all those things. So, maybe a little bit longer retreat might be good also for me. But at this stage, I have already booked my diary until middle of year after, 2019 already. This weekend I'm here, that weekend I'm there. So yes, I'll think about it. I'll really think about it.
We can wait and we can plan.
Sorry?
We can wait.
Yeah,
we can plan.
Yes.
If we're still alive.
Yes. Yes, yes.
That would be wonderful.
I like that kind of retreat, gentle, working together. I like that kind of retreat. Yes. The 2007, when I did my own Guru Samaj retreat in India, it is on my own. I felt it would be really nice to have a few Westerners. But it also, because everything, recited in Tibetan, and then when you recite in Tibetan, most of the recitations are from your heart, then it's just blah, 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 blah. So when you, with the Westerners, then reading slowly, okay, that's what they mean. You have time to think the meaning. Yes. Anyway, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Here. Pastor.
I think this is my fifth year at Acworth, and I think it's going to be 10 years in a couple of years, so I hope these will continue. But I found the shamatha on the breath very, very beneficial. And I remember you saying, maybe 5 years ago, you can use a different object, you don't have to use the breath, it's possible maybe to use the image of the Buddha, or even the nature of mind itself. And I thought, this is very intriguing. It's a bit like finger pointing at itself. But I think it's been really, really beneficial to try this type of meditation. And I think also it makes the using the breath as an object somewhat easier somehow.
Yes.
So I just thank you very, very much.
Yes. I think I was told we are coming here 10, do you say how many years? 8th year, okay, yeah. Coming here, 8th year. Oh, yeah, time passes very quickly. Yes, okay. Any suggestions or questions? Yeah. Also, you can ask questions. Your today's, what I've said, and if there are questions, it is also part of the question and answer. Yeah. Jen,
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Yeah, I was quite surprised because I came 2 years ago.
So they will not hear you. It is on, they're closer.
It is on. I was quite surprised with the style of meditation, which I wasn't expecting because I was here 2 years ago when they're very precise on the Shinin Shamatha. And yeah, very similar to some of the mindfulness type of meditation. Just a question, if you're already been practicing or trying to practice to develop single-pointed in one particular way, and now introduced to this, do you keep with the one that you've been working with or alternate them?
Okay,
and
yes.
And the second part was, at what point, because otherwise, I can see the danger, you can just space out and have a nice holiday, but not really. At what point do you, having done your sort of analytical preparation or before entering the meditation, do you move, if you've got a little bit calmer mind, to more the, I would like to call it vipassana, but a little bit more the inquiry?
Okay. I mean, this is the style of the shamatha meditation that we done during this retreat, started last year during this retreat. I'm not saying this is to everybody. This is as a continuation. I led this meditation here. I'm not saying this is for everybody, and I'm not saying this is for everybody right here and now. People who feel like, Judy said, the using the breath as an object of the meditation to bring attention to the present right here and now, And if that meditation is going well, and still you like to build more stability and the clarity on that basis, I would say stay with that. You know, what we have learned here is maybe a few years down, maybe useful. Because once we have developed degrees of, I mean, pure shamatha might be difficult, although I don't know. But once we develop certain levels of stability and the clarity, as Judy said, you know, that we can change object of the meditation. We can change styles of the meditation. In that change, in that transition, maybe a few months we will struggle. But, you know, it won't be that difficult. But if we keep changing without any sort of any base, then it is not helpful to yourselves. So that is the first part of the answer to your question. Now, second part of the question, answer to your question, I mean, there are two things when we use the term analytical meditation. Analytical meditation is, under this term, it is in a very, very broad sort of, you know, the way we can do, you know, so, for example, this morning when I was briefly describing on that Nagarjuna's verses, and at that time, at that moment, while you are listening, and from the listening, when you start to think, when you start to contemplate the points that are made, that is also type of analytical meditation. You know, you may not count that as a, generally, may not count it as a meditation. No, it's not meditation. I'm listening to this person's talk. I'm not in a meditation. But as long as your mind is in the process of contemplating what is said, it is type of analytical meditation. So it is in a very broad. Or when you read a text that they say the Nagarjuna's fundamental wisdoms, and the first two verses are those two verses, and when you think, those eight, you know, the points, eight things. That's also count as analytical meditation. That's one thing. Now then, you know, when we talk about analytical meditation, quite often associated with the vipassana, And in that case, then, you know, the meditation to be called vipassana in a more narrow sense. I mean, the term of vipassana is used in a very, very wide, context. But in a, you know, the traditional, those scripture meaning of vipassana, Buddhist vipassana, that mental state should be, that meditation should be carried on the basis of having at least having, you know, a degrees of shamatha, stability and the clarity, and then follow the analysis, and out of the analysis, what kind of analysis here again, from strictly from the Buddhist teachings point of view, you know, the analysis can be or should be related to, you know, the some of those like nature of dukkha, nature of impermanence, nature of emptiness, should be related to some of those topics. I mean, of course, vipassana meditation can be done in general terms, can be done based on your breath, based on your body, based on your feelings. That can be done. I'm not saying there are not vipassana meditation at all, you know. But following the scripture, Buddhist scripture and the teaching, then the analysis and at the end of the conclusion should have those, that kind of elements. So in other words, in a direct answer to your question, if you want to do a say the Vipassana meditation, then the individual should have, you know, a degree of stability and the clarity. And that, you know, that mind itself gradually tune into analytical mind, and that analysis should produce some kind of, you know, the conclusion, like a nature of dukkha, nature of impermanence, nature of selflessness, then have a, in that conclusion, single-pointed meditation. So that kind of structure. So, you know, the analytical meditation and the Vipassana is quite wide and in closely following the traditional scripture, like Kamala Shila's text, like those, some of those great Indian masters' texts, is in built in that structure. Hmm? Okay. Yeah, there are two. Can you pass down?
Geshe-la.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you so much. I found it a really... a very special experience, and I'm already looking forward to next year of your continuation. I think what has been really has warmed my heart. I've read about taking the mind as the object of meditation in other traditions, but you're the first person I've heard speak about it in the Galut tradition, and it just makes me really happy to hear you speak of other traditions and how. You know, other traditions also take the mind, can take the mind as the object of meditation. So, you know, sometimes I felt, oh, I have to keep my interests separate. And I feel on this occasion, you know, you've brought things together, and that's been very special. I do have a question, please. I'm a bit confused. This morning, when you spoke about the where is the I, it's the aggregates, it's the five aggregates, which I absolutely, I get, I think. But then earlier, speaking about the subtle mind, clear, knowing, empty, I'm thinking, well, where is that? Is that in the mental consciousness part of the five aggregates?
Oh, yes. I mean, now that can be in that fifth aggregates, mental consciousness. Mm-hmm. That can be in the conversational factors, the fourth one. Also, it is in the part of the feeling. It is part of the discrimination. It spread all those three, four areas.
This is in the sixth aggregate.
Sixth, yeah,
sixth. The iPhone.
That's a good idea. I usually call, you know, that some of you may know, you know, when in the Buddhist tradition, particularly I don't know that much whether that is the case in the Theravadan Buddhist tradition, in the Tibetan monastic Buddhist. When the person is fully ordained after, you know, when he reaches age 20, because full ordination should not be given before age 20. So, and when the full ordination is given, usually the abbot or the acharya who gave the ordination, he will give you, several things, among them there is a small statue of Buddha. One small statue of Buddha is given, and it is called Debang. Debang means, you know, cannot be separated from you. Cannot be separated from you. So I usually call iPhone. When I talk to the Tibetans, particularly monks who know that, where's your Debang? And yes, that's quite good. Yes, yes.
Could I just clarify? So if this clear, knowing, empty, subtle mind could be part of the compositional factors,
yes,
then that suggests that could go from life to life.
Yes, you know, within the compositional factors, there are things can go from life to life. For example, many of our imprints, karmic imprints.
Even this subtle mind?
Yes, yes, yes,
oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Can you, yeah, David, first. Yeah.
This morning, Geshe-la, you spoke about the tools
yes.
we use, and I think you said to the effect that we use them in a less intense way in
yes.
this sort of
yes.
Does that include vigilance?
Yes, because in the Sutrayana, those are the two main tools, isn't it? Mindfulness and vigilance, or alertness. This term I use. Vigilant, alertness are interchangeable terms in Tibetan, sheshing. I mean, here, in those are there, present, but it is used in a very, very different manner. That's what, yeah.
Thank you.
Can you pass here? Then go down. Here, sorry.
Geshe-la, in the Nagarjuna homage mm-hmm. and in the Heart Sutra, is it equally correct to add inherent, there is no inherent cessation, there is no inherent
yes,
production?
Yes, 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 yes.
So that's the meaning.
Yeah.
In our heads, we can
yeah.
just add it.
Yeah, yeah. Can you pass down there?
Geshe-la, first of all, I want to say a big thank you to you
mm-hmm.
because of various events, which I think we talked about. I was really having a crisis of faith. I was really feeling that I was distancing myself from the Dharma.
Mm.
But this retreat has brought me back and
mm-hmm.
my heart's back in it.
Okay.
So thank you very much for
okay.
that.
Yeah.
Secondly,
maybe tomorrow I'll take it out.
I don't think so. And secondly, I wanted to say I also very much like the balance between the meditation and the teachings, and uh-huh. I felt, you know, a lot of things became clarified for me or suddenly made sense that hadn't mm. made sense before because of the teaching. So thank mm. you for that as well. Mm. I have two questions.
Yes.
Okay. The first one is, I think it was yesterday you were talking about strong emotions like anger and sadness, that we can use them, I think, in the meditation. But I wonder how clarity, knowing, and empty, if you could give an example of how that applies, for example, to sadness or to anger.
Mm. The point here in this kind of tradition, you know, that when the raw anger through, you know, non-judgmental observation, when the raw anger, raw sadness, starting to subside, starting to, you know, reduce its the edge of that kind of, you know, the rawness, that is the theory. That is the, you know, the theory. Then we will start to see even these mental state also shares clarity, awareness, and the empty nature. You know, similar to, say, our compassion. When we have a strong compassion is present, and again, non-judgmental, not labeling, simply observing that with a full sort of alertness and all those things, and again, share the same, that quality, clarity, you know, and awareness and the empty.
Because the empty, I think I can understand.
Empty, so. in this case, empty simply saying non-obstruction, without any, not material.
Right.
Doesn't have shapes, colors, forms. In that sense, empty in this case.
Because my understanding was that you say it arises, for example, anger, and then it disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, that's how I understood the emptiness, because it's suddenly gone.
No, no.
It's there, and it's not in that way.
In these three criteria that I'm talking about, empty is not, anger is disappearing, not in that context. I may have said that, but if I said that, that's a mistake. What I've said is empty in the sense of, it doesn't, that at the end of the anger or compassion or whatever through the observation. When these are slowly to, you know, the, what you call the, you know, subside, the raw emotion, then we will experience, we will see, perceive that, that kind of characteristic in within that or based there. And that empty is not just empty in the sense of, you know, anger disappears, not in that sense, no.
And my second question is, change glasses. We say that the mind of clear light has been there from beginning this time. It's forever. It's eternal. Mm. So I don't understand how it's empty, because it hasn't, as far as I can understand, it hasn't come from causes and conditions, because we don't know when it started.
Mm. That we will talk next year. Okay, we'll talk next year. Yeah, Carrie.
I've just been thinking, as I thought last year in this retreat, that these teachings would be really fantastic if we had them written down. So, as I said to you already, Geshe-la, I will, I'm just saying again in public so I don't forget, that I will organize a transcript, Geshe-la, of these 4 years' teachings. Mm. So maybe we can use that as a basis for the course.
Yes, the shamatha is already transcribed.
Okay, good.
It's already transcribed. Okay. I asked a lady down in Jamyang,
Alison
Watoma. She already translated the first year shamatha.
Okay.
That's what I plan. And I already, you know, the asked somebody, because Elena, she's, I don't know how much time she's going to have it when she got the something there. So, but she's happy to do it. But if there are people, you know, the happy to do transcript, that will be nice if you're able to, you know.
Well, we can talk then about doing the last year and this year.
Yeah, okay. That might be hard for her to do both. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not saying you should do all 2 years, but we can organize together how we do it. So. Yeah.
So, yes, you, sorry.
We agreed I'm doing last year.
Yeah.
And I'm volunteering already for next year.
Okay, I'll do this year then. Okay.
Yeah, so look at those things. That will be nice then, from where, if I have a transcript, then slow, based on that transcript, then I can add it on, maybe year after I can add it on, which I haven't managed to say it, or if I said it wrongly, and all those things, then it will have some sort of, you know, the together material. That will be good. That will be better. So you, Carrie and Elena, you two talk together.
Yes, we'll do. Yeah.
Yeah, that will be good.
Thank I have you. One question also, yes. About shamatha. Mm. I understood that to develop shamatha, it had to be with a meaning generality, a conceptual image.
To have a shamatha.
Yeah, but it seems like this nature of the mind, that's not the case.
Meaning generality.
Like when you have an image of a Buddha, it's not the Buddha statue, it's the mental image of the Buddha statue.
Okay, now, this you are talking about a very specific, choosing a specific object of the meditation. To cultivate shamatha, you can choose like breathing, right here and now. To do that, you don't have to have a, you know, the term that you use, meaning generality, or I tend to use saying, you know, the either the conceptually constructed or representation is the, these days, prefer rather than meaning generality. What is that meaning generality? So, you know, representation, when we, you know, build a representation of Buddha. So what you're saying is it's very following closely Tibetan Buddhist tradition. In the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, the main object of the meditation to cultivate shamatha, if you look at the Tsongkhapa's writing, and although he mentioned there were 5 or 6 different shamatha meditation objects to be chosen, and among then at the end of there he said, in this tradition, this is the most favorable object to be selected. That is the image of Buddha. So if you're going to choose your shamatha meditation object as a something mentally constructed, something meaning generality or, you know, the, what you call the, you know, representation in your head, then you have to have that first. But if you choose breathing, sensation, something right here and now, you don't have to have meaning generality because object is there. No. That is, I think, my understanding. Yeah. Yeah, there.
Thank you very much. I'm really glad I came. I have a question. When you were talking about the neutral state within this meditation, so a few times in my sitting, the kind of grossest thinking subsided a bit, and then there was this sort of space when nothing much was happening. I wasn't strongly feeling an emotion, wasn't particularly thinking much. And there's almost a kind of glassy quality, like almost like glass. I don't know how to describe that. So my question is, there's two parts to it, I think. So if you don't have a object like the breath within that, when the grossest experiences subside, do you just sit? I mean, what do you actually do in the space?
I think in here it is very important not to lose your guard of mindfulness and alertness.
So you just sit with
If the stillness and the clarity are there, that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
That's perfectly fine. What is here is if there's nothing, if you lose those two, stillness and the clarity.
Yes.
Then you are slipping.
Sliding.
Yes.
Okay.
So that is really important.
Yeah. Okay.
It is really something, you know, the here, you know, the thing is when you start to use the mind itself, and particularly the conventional nature of the mind itself as an object of the meditation, what it seems what's going to happen, when these thoughts are starting to disappear, you know, then that mind which is meditating itself, eventually the clarity, you know, the clear, knowing, empty nature. And that is the object, that is the mind which is meditating. There's no separate.
Okay.
And that is what here it is going to happen.
So can I just ask a follow-up question? So in the experience of there being a bit more space, it doesn't feel particularly spacious, but in my experience, it feels, especially with my eyes open, like a glassiness. I don't know how to describe that any better. Is the sense of space that isn't very spacious a subtler conceptualization as well? Or is it a space?
Because
it's not arising in the kind of obvious sense like a thought or an emotion or...
Because this object of the meditation, one of the characteristics is empty. You know, the non-material, no color, no shape, no... That itself may slowly produce a sense of spaciousness when our mind observes in that kind of nature, rests in that kind of nature. It may, even if you are sitting next to a wall, it may produce sense of spaciousness.
Okay.
Because of this absence of shapes and colors, any kind of, you know, the... Obstruction.
Basically keeps trying to sit with clarity.
Yes.
Okay.
Now last question. Yeah. Okay.
I just want to say, as well as thank you to you, Geshe Lao, I want to say thank you to Carrie and Fiona for their first retreat here, because I think, as we all know, it needs an awful lot of work, both before, yes, during and after, that's past, true, present and future. That is true. So I just want to say thank you on behalf, yes, of everybody.
There, last. Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, Geshe-la. I've got a question to do with the clear light mind, mm, and to do with doing the practices on the nature of mind. Mm. To what extent is that preparing us for our next life? Because mm. I've just been struck from reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead, mm, that the readings that you're doing quite soon after somebody dies, mm, they're talking about, you know, luminous void and pure naked mind. Mm. And then I just happened to be reading the bit 2 or 3 days ago. If I can get it open on the page, thank you. and it just really struck me that this little bit here seems to be so similar to what you've been saying about the nature of mind. And this is the bit to do with closing of the womb entrance. And it's saying about the true profound essential secret is to enter into the supreme state of equilibrium in which there's no good or bad, acceptance or rejection, passion or aggression. And it just seemed to me that that was very much like the qualities that we've been developing, or not so much the qualities that we've been developing, but the, I can't think of the right word, this sort of, what we've mm. been... sort of aiming to do in the sense of effortlessly. Mm. So I wondered if you could say something about mm. that, or if that's moving towards next year's retreat.
I mean, as I said, I'm preparing for next year to extend this. As you remember, the other day I said we are in a juncture of fork, and I choose this one, and in that I talk about emptiness. So next year I would like to talk a little bit on this fork. In that fork, we will have some of explanation of, you know, clear light mind, and because it has again different, it has a different, particularly in the Tsongkhapa's tradition, clear light mind has a, you know, nature of the mind in that level again has a several different meanings. You know, the nature of the mind as emptiness, nature of the mind as a clear light mind, and how the clear light mind is revealed or experienced. So there are these things which, like that process you are reading, is part of the one of the process, you know, the how to reveal or how to familiarize, you know, the clear light mind naturally or through the meditation. So that's that sort of things there. Yeah. Okay, thank you. We'll leave it here now. Okay, yeah, the last. Mm-hmm. Can you have the...
I've not used speakers before, yeah. So it's such an opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, I want to say thank you so much to Geshe-la for all his teaching, for all your teaching, and also Jamyang Leeds. After coming to the West, I'm listening more Buddhist teachings. And what I wanted to say is I would like to request Geshe-la. There are so many English audiobooks, and it will be so nice if there are Tibetan audiobooks, more like Shantideva's teachings, and it will be nice to hear from Tibetan teachers or Tibetan lamas. Listening them again and again will be really helpful. Likewise, any other texts, Lalin Sobdun or anything. That's, I thought, if I request you, maybe you've got lots of influence on lots of other Tibetan lamas.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes. In fact, I'm leading. I'm leading this Saturday, after Jamyang, during the day, Jamyang retreat, and the evening, Tibetans. I'm leading class on the 37 practices of Lojong, Gyatso Langlen Sodyuma, by Tongme Sangpo. I don't know how many Tibetans are going to come. yeah, that is the thing. But you know, I've been leading classes for the Tibetans for quite some time in London, because 1990. aid when His Holiness Dalai Lama came to London, when he gave teachings in Barbican on the Four Noble Truths. And one lunchtime, he asked me to come the place where he was having lunch, and he gave me a few, you know, things to eat while he was eating from his plate. And he said, now you are here, and there are that time not many Tibetans compared to these days in London, but still there might be a couple of hundreds. And he said, there are relatively, you know, a good number of Tibetans in London, and there are young Tibetans, you should give them some classes. So I have no choice. And since then, I let once a month, not every month, not in December, not in August, not in April, until 3 years ago when I started, took this degree course. Otherwise, I've done classes.
No, Geshe-la, actually, what I was asking is like audio books. And
so it is.
For example, if they can't read, at least they can hear, or if they can't see properly.
Yeah,
but thank you so much.
I'm not very very convinced in that case, because there are many teachings you can listen in.
Dalai Lama. But not text itself. Mm. You know, just like a text. Sunju yorwa kishla sunju deshe mebache peje kora tablo bne shi
okay now
peje dinde mangbu yena ani no
okay now understand yes
ani inji thola tab dinde mangbu du go kishla tuchena tuchena
oh yeah thank you that's our that our private discussion so
thank you so much to everybody
oh yeah praises to 21 Taras. Page 28. Om Jetsu Ma Pama Dhamma La Cha Tse Lo Chanza Dhamma Nyuma Pama Chene Geche Lodan Dhamma Chide Sumgun Chuyi Sheti Kesa Chiwa Lene Choma Chanza Tongke Tawa Kun Kawa Jene Tsikbe She Kama Tongda Tsoba Namji Rabdo Chewe Vera Pama Chanza Singe Chune Cheche Peme Chane Nambara Chema Jinpa Tsundu Kato Shewa Seba Samde Junyema Chanze Tejin Shebe Tsoto Taye Nambara Gyawa Chema Malu Paru Jinpa Tope Gyawe Seji Shindu Tema Chanze Tuta Rahon Yike Duta Chota Namka Kama Jikde Dumbu Shabji Nen Luba Meba Guba Numa Chanze Gyajin Mela Tsangpa Lungla Natsu Wanju Chema Jombo Rolan Tisa Namda Nijin Soji Dune Tema Chanze Teche Chadang Peche Paru Tugu Rabdu Choma Egon Yun Jan Shabji Nende Meba Tuba Shindu Parma Chanze Turi Jigba Chempo Diji Bao Nambara Choma Chiji Shene Chonyi Tenze Tao Tamje Malu Sema Chanze Kunjo Sumze Chati Seme Tuga Nambara Chema Malu Choji Kolo Jembe Ranji Uji Tsonama Chema Chanze Rabdo Gawa Chibe Uji Uji Tengwa Bema Sheba Rabshi Tuta Duda Jigde Wangdu Tsema Chanze Sashi Kyungwe Tsonam Tamje Guba Numa Nima Chonye Yewa Yike Hongi Pongba Tamje Nambara Choma Chanze Dawe Dumbu Uje Genba Tamje Shindu Parma Rebe Tene Vabame, Tabra Shindo Verose, Chanze Gebe Tamame, Barwe Tingwe Unene, Yedia Yingo Gune Gok, Dae Pune Nambaracho, Chanze Sashi Ngola Chaki, Tilje Nujin Shabje Doma, Tonye Chenze Yige Hong, Rimba Dumbo Namne Kem, Chanze Dema Gema Shem, Nyangen Deshin Chuyunim, Soa Om Dayan Tatem, Digba Chenpo Chomba Nim, Chanze Kune Korwa Kavi, Daye Lune Nambara Kema, Yige Chubu Ngane Kupi, Rigba Hunle Choma Nim, Chanze Ture Shamne Tapi, Hunge Nambe Sabun Nim, Rera Menda Ratan Bich, Jigden Somna Yewa Nim, Chanze Lae Choi Nambe, Reda Tajin Chana Nam, Tara Niju Peje Yik, Duna Malu Pane Sem, Chanze Lae Chonam Kepo, Hada Miham Chitem, Kune Koja Kawa Chit, Zeta Melwangen Basem, Chanze ni ma tawa ke, chenye pola vero sem, hara ni ju tu tarai, shindo takbe rimne sem, chanze ti ni sum nam ke, shive tu tayan ta tem, du da ron la ni jun son, chomba tu re rap cho ni, zave nga ji tu ba ti, Chanze wa ne ni shu zang. Dedication. Chanju sem cho rembo che. Ma te pa na ke juru che. Ke pa. Nyamba mebai kone kondo pewaj tobze chashe chamgun jawe ten zinjo pewe kunsu toporo ze chosom kwe Leng me tu tu pa Da so du je Gun du sha ten Kan ri ra ve Kor ve shin kan de Pen dan de wa Ma lu chung ve ne Chen re se wa Ten zin jia so yi Sha be se de Pado tenjo. Oh yeah, thank you.